I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. The State Department says the Obama administration has no plans to remove Cuba from its list of state sponsors of terrorism. Cuba denies links to terrorists, but it's on the list because it's harbored Colombian rebels and Basque militants. Meanwhile, Cuba's foreign minister is demanding the U.S. close Guantanamo Bay, where dozens of men detained by the U.S. are on a hunger strike. And that demand comes as the U.N. is reviewing human rights in Cuba's prisons. The BBC's Sarah Rainsford got a rare look inside one.
At one of Cuba's most notorious prisons, there's music piped across the compound. This is the Combinado del Este that's held everyone from convicted killers to political prisoners. And we've just been given very rare access behind the coiled barbed wire and the high walls.
We're just being taken into one of the cell blocks now, heading upstairs. And on the big iron door here, it says, "Welcome to collective number 32.
As we enter the wing, inmates break into song to greet us. Cuba's human rights record is up for review, and this prison trip was clearly part of a preemptive charm offensive. Stepping away from the choir, I find Eduardo, who's been waiting 17 months for his trial. That's about average here. There are three men in his cell, which looks clean but cramped. At the back, there's a floor tray that's both shower and toilet combined. There is no running water. But Nelson's main complaint is the sentence he faces, up to 8 years for what he says were a few grams of marijuana. Proportionately, communist Cuba has one of the highest prison populations in the world, triple the incarceration rate in the UK. Officials tell us they're working to cut the number sent to high security jails like this one, currently close to half of all offenders. The idea is to move them to places like La Lima, down the road. It's a more open prison, where we met inmates outside the prison gates doing paid work on a building site. Inside, their barracks have been festooned with flags for our arrival. But the inmates' stories are far from cheery. Ricardo tells me he's serving 3 years for being pre-criminally dangerous.
I had no job. And I was hanging around with undesirables, people who'd been in prison. So they said I was dangerous and sent me here. I didn't rob or kill anyone or anything. It was just for that.
Cuba's critics have often called conditions behind bars here inhumane. I saw no sign of that, but our tour was tightly controlled and no conversations were in private. One way to dispel persistent doubts would be to accept a long-standing request from the Red Cross for its expert monitors to visit. I ask why Cuba won't do that, and a senior prison official suggests that our visit should be enough. You've seen the reality, he insists. But one thing we didn't see was any political prisoners. Last Sunday after Mass, like every week, the ladies in white marched in Havana, then called for freedom for dozens of political detainees. The group formed a decade ago when 75 prominent dissidents were arrested. Those men are now free, but Laura Labrada argues that little else has changed.
I'd say nothing has improved. In 2003, 75 people were given long prison sentences. These days, people are still being detained, for hours now, or maybe days, but in great numbers, and just for thinking differently.
The UN Human Rights Council will raise those detentions at Cuba's review. Judging the prison system itself will be harder. There was one more show before our tour ended, salsa this time, from a man doing 20 years for murder. Conditions here are good, Joel assured us, and then made a point of thanking his prison guards for showing him the error of his ways.
The BBC's Sarah Rainsford in Cuba. Well, when we come back, do we know yet why schools and homes were allowed to be built so near that factory in Texas? That's next, Here and Now.